Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
In Acts chapter 4, after the people have gathered and they've been proclaiming the good news to them, Acts chapter 4 will begin back in verse 1, and then our focus is in verse 5 and following. This is God's word. While they were speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple police, and the Sadducees confronted them because they were annoyed that they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So they seized them and took them into custody until the next day, since it was already evening. But many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and all the members of the high priestly family. After they had Peter and John stand before them, they began to question them. "By what power or in what name have you done this?" Then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a disabled man, by what means he was healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing here before you healthy. This Jesus is the stone rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved." When they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. And since they saw the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in opposition. After they ordered them to leave the Sanhedrin, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What should we do with these men? For an obvious sign has been done through them, clear to everyone living in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that this does not spread any further among the people, let's threaten them against speaking to anyone in this name again." So they called for them and ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Peter and John answered them, "Whether it's right in the sight of God for us to listen to you rather than to God, you decide. For we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." After threatening them further, they released them. They found no way to punish them because the people were all giving glory to God over what had been done. For this sign of healing had been performed on a man over 40 years old. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Why were they in trouble? They couldn't exactly say, "We're upset with you because the man is healed." What upset them was that they were pointing people to Jesus. And I'll tell you something. If you want to talk about God, there are a lot of people who will give you a pass. You start talking about Jesus, a lot more people have a problem with it. We need to have non-sectarian prayers, you know. If we're doing something before a political body opens or whatever. We need to just pray in a generalized way that won't be offensive. If you start praying in Jesus' name, if you start saying that you're doing what you're doing because Jesus says so, that rubs a lot of people the wrong way. You and I, who live in very comfortable circumstances, need to realize we've got brothers and sisters around the world who are in prison right now. We have brothers and sisters around the world who are being tortured right now. In many countries, people are suffering because of their faith in Jesus Christ. You and I need to realize this so that we don't take for granted the enormous blessings and freedom that we have, and so that we don't stop praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ. They were annoyed, it said in the opening verses of chapter 4. Can you imagine imprisoning people because they were doing something that annoyed you? They weren't doing anything illegal, but it annoys us. This is called weaponizing the government. It's still practiced today. These folks were annoyed, and so they imprisoned Peter and John. And the next day, they put them on trial, and the problem is they don't have a charge against them. So they question them. This is called a fishing expedition. They are looking for something they can charge them with. By whose name and what authority? Who gave you the right to do what you did? They said, oh, we can answer that. It's in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Folks, do you understand that there are people in this world who've never heard of Jesus? But the Bible says right here in this passage that we read, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's not Jesus in every language. Mary didn't call him Jesus. She called him Yeshua. Yesu, Jesus, Jesus. It's translated different ways in different languages. But we're talking about, who is this man? To do something in his name means you do it in obedience to him. Right now, while we're speaking, someone is at Lowe's in Sevierville buying stuff for me. And they are going to charge it in my name. Now, they're going to show their ID, and it's not going to say Jim Wood on it. They're going to show their ID because they're not pretending to be me, but they are acting per my instructions. They are doing what I said to do. I sent them to buy some stuff. And so they have authority to do what I have told them to do, acting in my name, and it will be charged to my account, not theirs. That's what's happening here. The reason why they were able to tell that man, rise up and walk, is because Jesus had commissioned them to go out and do that. And so they were acting in Jesus' name, not pretending to be Jesus of Nazareth, but they were doing what he commanded. The people who were asking them understood that. Look again at the question that they were asked. By what power or in what name have you done this? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we're being examined today about a good deed done to a disabled man, by what means he was healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, by this man, By him, this man is standing here before you healthy. It's by Jesus. Jesus is the one paying for this. He's the one who died on the cross to pay for our sins, and it's by his stripes that we're healed. And so Jesus is the one whose name is being invoked because he's the one who sent us, and he's the one who's still at work. The Acts of the Apostles, as this book is sometimes called, are the acts of Jesus Christ through his body. It is God at work still today through the body of Christ. And we need to understand that or we miss the point.
Folks, it's a great privilege for me to be able to come each evening and bring God's Word on these stations. I am so thankful that I have the opportunity to do that. But if you listen regularly, you know that my life day-to-day is involved in trying to minister to kids who come from very difficult situations. I want to ask you to please help us. Contact us at wvr.org and find out how you can be part of the miracle. wvr.org. Please help us. Help these children.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing here before you healthy. Now, how do you suppose that felt? These people are already upset. They were so annoyed that they took these guys into custody, locked them up overnight, and now it's the next day and they've got them on trial. Wouldn't you try and talk your way out of it? Peter's not talking that way. Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit is well in control. And Peter is boldly proclaiming that Jesus, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, is alive and at work, and he's the only way you can be saved. Wow. That's boldness. That's the truth. Please understand, he's quoting here from Scripture, this Jesus is the stone rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. He is reaching back into the Scriptures. These guys had memorized large quantities of Scripture. They didn't understand it like they should. They didn't believe it like they should. They didn't obey it like they should. But they definitely recognized this reference. Jesus is the stone the builders rejected. And he has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. Please understand that. You can't pick and choose. The Bible's not a buffet line. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay, that is a fact. That's not an opinion. It's what Jesus said about himself. And if that seems like too narrow a way for you, remember that Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction and many travel thereon. Narrow is the way that leads to life and very few people find it. That's the fact. So if you know, I can't believe that God would only accept Christians. The question is, on what basis will God accept anyone? Will God accept someone who comes from a Buddhist faith? Yeah. If they put their trust in Jesus Christ and him alone for their salvation, Well, what if they're growing up Hindu? Oh, many Hindus have come to faith in Jesus. But then they're not Hindus anymore, just like the other guy isn't a Buddhist anymore. You're saying unless a person does it your way, then they're not really saved. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying unless you receive Jesus and do things his way, you're not saved. I know lots of people who grew up not Buddhist, but Baptist, or Presbyterian, or Roman Catholic, or Anglican. And then they met Jesus. They'd heard about him, just like these people had heard about him, but they'd never trusted him. They'd never received him. I stand here day after day pleading with folks who are hearing about Jesus, hearing about Jesus, hearing about Jesus, hearing about Jesus, to trust Jesus, to receive him as your Lord and Savior. There is no one else who can save you. You can't do it by hard work. You can't do it by trying harder. You can't fix it yourself. You got to come to the point where you realize, I deserve hell. I need a Savior. Lord God, have mercy on me. I believe that Jesus died to pay for my sins, and I want not just to be forgiven, I want to be cleansed. I want to be changed. Lord Jesus, please take control of my life. I want you to be the boss. If you've never come to that point in your life, I plead with you to do that. You don't have to get a copy of what I just said and say those exact words. It's the attitude of the heart God is looking for. Do you know that you're hopeless apart from him? And do you know that Jesus came to save you? If you are looking to him to save you, you are being saved. It's good news. This is good news. But I'm telling you, as one who remembers what it is to hear the truth and believe it was true and not know the Lord, the difference between knowing about him and knowing him is the difference between death and life. And I want you to know him. So, Peter proclaimed very clearly and succinctly, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. When they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. Now, here's the thing. When it says they were uneducated and untrained, this doesn't mean that these guys were goof-offs, okay? This means they had not received the formal rabbinic education that the other people in the room had. Doesn't mean they were idiots. It means that they weren't seminary graduates. These fellas knew the scriptures, they were quoting the scriptures, and they were speaking with boldness to the top officials in their religion. I'll tell you something. Truth is a lot stronger than lies. I remember as a kid, conversations that I had with seminary grads, including one guy who had two PhDs. I wasn't old enough to drive a car, but I was old enough to know Jesus. And I had been told that this fella with two PhDs did his second PhD on the fact that there is no such thing as a soul or spirit in man that lives beyond the grave. This life is all there is. That was his second doctorate, and he was a seminary professor at a Presbyterian school up north. And he was down in Montreat preaching at a conference as the featured speaker, and I went and heard him, and his messages were solid. I mean, at least the one I heard, he said a bunch of good stuff, sounded very orthodox. And I was a little confused because I thought, how can somebody who allegedly believes this sound like that? Well, I'll tell you how. It's called show business. There are a lot of preachers who preach stuff they don't believe. And they preach stuff that they don't live. But they do what they have to make the sale. Well, this guy preached a really good sounding message, and so I went up to him afterwards really perplexed. Had I been misinformed about what he believed? So I went up to this guy and I said, excuse me, but do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And his response was, and I quote, "Why, of course, it's the very foundation of our faith. Sound doctrine. Unless you just do a little scratch on the surface." I said, "So you believe Jesus physically rose from the dead?" And he said, "Oh, no, of course not." Okay, he believes in the resurrection. It's the very foundation of our faith. You believe he physically rose from the dead? No, of course not. So do you believe it was his soul or his spirit that came back from the dead? And he said, "No, I don't believe there is any such thing." And I said, "So if it wasn't his body and it wasn't his soul or spirit, what do you believe was the resurrection of Jesus Christ?" And again, I quote, "Well, I don't want to get hung up on that." He walks off. It's the very foundation of our faith. But he doesn't know what it is. Now, why am I telling you this? Because, folks, there are a lot of people out there who have education, multiple degrees, and couldn't think their way out of a room. "Well, Pastor Wood, what am I going to do? I don't want to be misled." Okay, let me introduce you to someone who will never mislead you. Okay? His name is Jesus. He's alive. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is his word. Believe what he says. Trust in him. And if you're not sure what to do, ask. Ask him. Say, "Lord, I want to do your will. Whatever it is, I want to do your will. Show me what you want me to do." And he will do whatever it takes to show you whatever you need to know when you need to know it. God always meets our needs. So, they brought them back in after sending them out to confer with each other. They said, "What are we going to do? We can't refute what's happened. Everybody in Jerusalem knows what happened. There's no denying it's a miracle." Okay? Obviously, God has done something. What are we going to do? Well, let's just threaten them. Tell them that they must not preach in Jesus' name anymore. And Peter said, "Okay, I'm going to leave it to you to figure out whether it's better in the sight of God for us to obey you or him. Okay? But I can tell you right now, we're not going to stop preaching in Jesus' name. We can't stop. That's what they've been sent to do. That's what the word apostle means. Somebody who's sent." Guess what? Still the same today. So they were threatened some more, then let go. The plan of Jesus' enemies didn't work then, and it's not working now. One of the places where it is most costly to be a Christian right now is in Iran. And that's one of the places where the church is growing the fastest. Because once people know Jesus, they're not afraid to die. And they're not afraid to live in obedience. I put it to you again. Do you know him? Or do you just know about him? If you want to know him, tell him so. He is alive. He keeps his promises. I can trust him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.